Okay. Morning, today's daf in Nechulin is Lamed Ches. We're on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and our topic for today will be part two of Misukenes. Misukenes, a figure that comes up in the Gemara yesterday with the Mishnah, Lamed Zayin, and it basically occupies two dapim of Shas, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches. What is Misukenes? So as we learned yesterday, we didn't really even learn what a Misukenes is, meaning we didn't learn the diagnostics in terms of how do we know that the animal is in a state of Misukenes. But basically, as we learned yesterday, we could put, there are three terms which are kind of synonymous, they're not exactly the same, although the Gemara yesterday at least entertained for just a moment that they really are synonymous terms. They're not. But but at least they're in the same parsha. And that is that like anything biological, so there's an expiration. And so when it comes to life, so life is going to expire. So the term is nevela. Nevela is the animal's dead. So the animal's dead, so the animal now is a nevela. The animal died without a shechita, so it's now a status quo. It's a nevela, can't eat it. It's an issur in the Torah to eat it. It's a lav in the Torah. And on top of that, also, it's an avatum. It's going to be a source of tum. It's going to be metame b'maga b'masa, both by coming into contact with it or carrying it. So that's number one. Number two is a trefa. Trefa is holech lama. So trefa is going to die. And it's symptomatic, meaning that there's something in the animal that is evident and visible, that is a clear indicator that the animal is not going to be surviving. As I mentioned briefly yesterday, the Gemara in the next parak is going to have a machlokus, whether or not a trefa is chay or ain't chay. We will discuss that in the next parak, but in the meantime, for us just to keep everything nice and simple, so the idea behind a trefa is that it's terminal. And as a result of that, you can't eat the animal. Even if the animal receives a proper shechita, then the animal's not going to be an avela, and it's not going to be an avatuma, but nevertheless, it's asr ba'achila. And that also is a lav in the Torah, and that's of trefa. And then there's the third category, which is misukenes. The misukenes means the animal's dying, because that's what happens with all life. In other words, it's hit its expiration, although it's not yet dead. And so a misukenes means to say that it is asymptomatic. There is nothing in the animal that gives us any indication that the animal is going to die, other than the fact of old age, and it looks like it's getting to that point in time. Later, meaning in just a couple minutes from now, so we're going to see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give us some telltale signs when the animal is a misukenes. So can you shech and eat the animal? The answer is yes, you can. And as we learned Tosfos yesterday on the Mishnah, afilu chatchila. There's no hesitation, no reservation of shechting and eating the animal. That would be fine. The only concern, which is a serious one, is that the animal did not survive the shechita. I know that sounds funny, but if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Meaning, because the animal's misukenes, because the animal's dying, and I say this with pun intended, it's literally on its last leg, and you'll see later this morning, the you'll appreciate the pun a little bit later on. So the problem is that maybe as we're shechting the animal died before we finished the shechita, and that's not good. Meaning that in order for a shechita to be a kasher shechita, we need the animal to have survived the shechita. Meaning the shechita has to be the cause of death and not anything else. So if the animal died before the shechita was completed, so then the shechita didn't help, didn't do anything. So what we need is knowledge that the animal survived the shechita. How do we know that the animal survived the shechita? So the Mishnah taught us. The Mishnah gave us no less than three opinions amongst the Tanaim, exactly what we need to be looking for to make sure that the animal, in fact, survived the shechita. There are three opinions in the Mishnah. I'll go over them in just a little bit because we're going to need to know them over the course of today's daf. But there are three opinions in terms of what exactly we're looking for. How do we know that a misukenes is mutter? So that's a loaded question. Meaning, we know it's mutter. But we learned in the Mishnah, and according to Tosfos, even lechatchila, as long as you shecht it, you're allowed to eat the animal that was a misukenes. Now, how do we know it's mutter? So yesterday we went through a good part of yesterday's daf, trying to darshan out pesukim in the Torah that teaches us that in fact it's mutter. In other words, then it's not a nevela, and it's not a trefa, and it's not even an isra say. It's mutter legamri to go ahead and eat the misukenes once you shecht it. And how do I know that? And the answer is it's a loaded question. So one source that we went through yesterday were Psukim in Perek Zayin of a Yikra, where we went through Psukim yesterday, we darshan the Psukim and go back to yesterday's daf and review and see exactly how we arrived at the conclusion based on those drashas. We're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday with the Ibai Seima Mehacha. The Gemara now is going to be learning it based on Psukim and Yecheskel. And so now we have Psukim and the Navi that are going to tell us that the Maseh Kenes is Mutter. And every time we do this, we always make the observation. In other words, if we're looking for halachas of the Torah, so we generally turn to the Torah for halachas. We don't turn to Navi for halachas about what of Isser and Heter. But nevertheless, over here, the Gemara is using it as one of the sources. And it could very well be, like we say all the time, the Gemara happens not to say it over here, but it's just Gilui Milsa, meaning it's really part and parcel of Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, and the Psukim and Yecheskel are just there to provide us a Gilui Milsa. Anyway, we are continuing, we're picking it up right where we left off yesterday. Ibai Sandwich, halfway down on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, it's the beginning of the line. Now this is Yecheskel talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making some very strange requests from Yecheskel, right? I don't know say for Yecheskel. I'll start there. Perek Lamed Zayin is the dry bones, right? The Atzamas Yevashos. But after that, you know, please don't quiz me on Sefer Yecheskel. However, I know this through the Gemara, right? For me, it's reverse, by the way. Whatever the Gemara tells me, that's what I know about Sefer Yecheskel. But we know through the Gemara that there were a number of strange requests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of Yecheskel, right? And over here, he makes a very strange request of Yecheskel. If you want to know exactly what he asked, so see Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside, but see Rashi over here exactly what the request was that Kadosh Baruch Hu made of Yecheskel, and Yecheskel is now pleading with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please don't ask me to do these strange things. And now Yecheskel is basically going to, we understand this in context, basically say, look, I'm so pious, I'm such a religious person, like please don't ask me to do it. And here in the pasuk, Ve'omer Aha Hashem Elokim, Hinei Nafshi Lo Mitum'ah. So you know, I never became defiled. I'm going to explain this all better in just a moment. The Gemara is going to. And V'nevel Treifa Lo Achalti Minurai Varata. You know, I never ate Nevel and Treifa. And Lo Ba Bifi Basar Pigel. And my mouth never went Basar Pigel. So that's the pasuk where Yecheskel now is expressing his level of not just I'm shomer mitzvahs and halacha, but I'm really religious. I'm extraordinarily pious. And so now, Phil's asking the question, which the Gemara is basically bothered by, meaning I didn't eat nevel and treifa. That's not called being pious, that's called being observant. It's just, in other words, you're shomer Torah mitzvahs. So over here, when Yecheskel is saying, look at all the wonderful things I've done, well, every Jew should be saying this under normal circumstances. And so this doesn't speak to any kind of heightened level of religiosity, and the Gemara goes on to explain. You know, I did not have Yehurim during the day, in which led me to becoming a Balkari at night. Now, over here, you got to wonder, in other words, that's an extra level of piousness, meaning that should be true by everybody. What's so special about that? You can see the Baam Tosos over here is actually bothered by the very question. And the Yesh Lamar, I'm just cutting right to the end of that bottom Tosfos, second to last line. Da'afilo hachi chashiv le'rabusa mishum da'amina beperek get pashat. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara from Baba Basra, the end of the Masechta. Shlosh advarim ein adam nitzol behem b'chol yom. In other words, we're humans, and as human beings, so the Gemara makes an understanding of human nature. And that is every day, it's just part of the human condition. That hira havera, Lashon Hara, Iyun Tefila. Things that are just, they're very difficult averas for us to not succumb to just a little bit every single day. Here are avera, that's what we're describing right now. Lashon Hara and Iyun Tefila, and see the Gemara over there in Baba Basra for a discussion what exactly is Iyun Tefila. But in the meantime, however, meaning the Gemara is not condoning. See, I'm going to be as clear as possible. The Gemara is not condoning, but the Gemara is basically saying that it's a human condition where we entertain Hiurim every day. It's very, very difficult to just block it all from our head. Obviously, we have to try to the best of our ability to block it from our head. But in other words, but the Gemara says it's just a human condition. Mashenke, when it comes to Yecheskel, he literally blocked it all out of his head. That's number one. Number two, Nevela Trefa lo achalti minurai shelo achalti baster kos me'olam. I never ate an animal kos, Rashi explains, and it's clear from the context of our Gemara, that what that means is as follows. Okay. Animal was a mistukenis. Oh no, let's quickly shecht it, because if we don't shecht it, we're not going to be able to eat it. So let's quickly shecht it. So in other words, so Yecheskel said, look, me'ikar adin, it's mutter. But I don't do that. Number three, v'lo ba b'fi baster pekel shelo achalti mi'behema shor b'chacham. So one shot of the last of the I was going to say boasting. It's not boasting. It's honesty. I mean, this is true by Yecheskel. So, and the last thing he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, according to one pshat, is that let's say we had an animal that had a shayla, and we went to the chacham and went to the rav, and the rav said it's okay, but when all said and done, we had a shayla, meaning so it wasn't 100%. Now it's interesting over here because if you have a shayla and you go to the rav and he says it's okay, so it's okay, and me ikar din, of course it's okay, but what Yecheskel was saying is that good, it's okay, and I go above and beyond. I am lifnim mishur sadin. Now that's one pshat. The Gemara gives a second pshat, which is Rabbi Nasan Amru Shlo Achalti Mebehema Shlo Hurmu Masnoseha. You know, I never ate from an animal where Zor L'Chaim Kev are taken off, we're not taken off. Meaning, I always made sure Zor L'Chaim Kev are taken off. Now we're later in the Masechta. We're going to learn together one of the mitzvahs in the Torah is that for every animal that shechted, so you have to give matanus of every animal over to a kohen. It's one of the Chavdal Matnas Kahuna and Zor L'Chaim Kev. Various parts of the animal which are given to the Kohen from every animal. Now Yecheskel himself was a Kohen, as Rashi here explains. And the truth of the matter is, he didn't have to be Mafri Zor L'Chai V'Keva. He could have eaten the animal in its entirety, and yet he was always Mafri Zor L'Chai V'Keva. That's another way to explain the last of the chumrah, so to say, of Yecheskel. So there are three chumras of Yecheskel, and again, all this we were interested in because of the second chumrah of Yecheskel, where he never ate a mesukenis. And now the Gemara makes the point, which we kind of already made. Now, if Maker Adin, the mesukenis is mutter, so then you understand. The Chumra of Yecheskel, where he didn't eat it, when meanwhile you're allowed to. But Ela Iyamar Tasurim, I rebusted Yecheskel. Ah, but if, to begin with, the mesukenis is Aser, so Yecheskel now is saying a Chumra, it's not a Chumra, if it's Aser. So it must be that it's not Aser, and Yecheskel by Chumrah, decided not to eat it. Okay, Adkan. That takes us now to the end of the Makaris in the Torah and in the Navi. How we know that the Mishkenis is Muteris, if I could say it better, and we knew the conclusion. Meaning the Mishnah says it's Muteris. We're just looking for the Makaris in the Torah and the Navi. We went through them, and we continue now in the Gemara. And the next topic of discussion is as follows. So when do we know it's a mustakenis? Now, why is it important to know it's muteris when all said and done? No, it's very critical to know. Because if it's in the state of mustakenis and you shecht it, so it's mutter, but you have to then look for the simonim of chiyus. You have to know that it survived the shechita. And then you have to go back to the Mishnah, where we're going to see who we're going to follow over the course of today's daf, but you're going to have to then follow along one of the shitas in terms of what is a simon of that it survived the shechita. Because if it is a mesukenis and we shecht it and there was no simon echius and we don't know that it survived, so then we're not allowed to eat it. In fact, if you go back to the Mishnah, you look at Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Mishnah and yesterday's daf, the ilom mefarches, if it doesn't convulse during the shechita, kim lehu l'rabbanan dinatul nishmasa kodem gemar shechitasa. The chachamim then know, right? The lashon Rashi is very strong. The chachamim now know that the animal did not survive the shechita, and consequently, then it's not shechted, meaning it's an avela. So to know it's the mesukenis now means that when you shecht it, you have to then look for the siman echios. And absent of the siman echios, you then have a nevela on your hands. So when is the animal exactly going to be a mesukenis? So over here, the Amoraim are discussing. We don't see this from the Tanaim, only from the Amoraim is this issue discussed. Mm-hmm. So it can't stand on its own strength. Rav Chanina bar Shamayim mishmei the Rav Amar afilo ochels bekios, and even if it's chewing on wood chips. Meaning the way Rashi understands it is that if it cannot stand on its own, I don't care what else it can do. Even if, let's say, it could still chew on something, it's not enough. Meaning, in order for it to be not a mesukenis, it has to be able to stand on its own strength. Rami Bar Yecheskel amar afilo ochos karos, and according to Rami Bar Yecheskel, it could be chewing on logs of wood, it doesn't matter. If it can't stand on its own, it's a mesukenis. B'sura masnahachi. Now, the way we just learned it is the way that was taught in the yeshiva of Surah, b'pampadisa masnahachi. But in Pumpadisa, So they learned it a little bit differently. It's really a small variation. Hechidami Mesukenis, again, the same question. When do we know the animals in Mesukenis? Amar Yehuda Marav, Kol Shema Aminim Osav Eino Omedes V'Afilo Ochelas Bikiyos. So here, in this version, everything is bundled together in the Memra of Rav. It can't stand on its own. Even if it can eat wood chips, it doesn't matter. If it cannot stand on its own, it's a Mesukenis. Rami Bar Yecheskel Amar Afilo Ochelos Karos. Even if it can eat beams of wood, still, if it can't stand on its own, it's a Mesukenis. Now, Ashkechinu Shmuel Tamid de Rav. Shmuel now finds the students of Rav. Remember, Rav had a Petira prior to that of Shmuel. In fact, if you remember, one of Rav's chief Tamidim, Rav Yehuda, ends up learning by Shmuel. But very often, though, Shmuel is conversing with many of the Tamidei Rav, and so Shmuel now is speaking with the students of Rav, and he wants to know, what did his late colleague have to say about Mesukenis? And Amar Lahu, my Amar Rav and Mesukenis. So what did my late colleague have to say on this topic? Amar Lahu, Hachi Amar Rav. So the Talmidim now are quoting their late Rebbe, and this is what he said regarding Mesukenis. Goa, hitila reye, the kishka shaba azna hareze pirchus. So any of these three would be considered a simon of chiyus, that the animal was alive during the duration of shechita. One, goa. The animal let out some sort of guttural cry as it was being shechted. Two, itila reya, the animal defecated. Three, kishkasha be'azna, the ear wiggled as it was being shechted. So all these are considered simane chiyus. Hareze pirchus, these are all convulsions. And now we know that the animal did in fact survive the shechita, which is what we want to see, obviously, because we want shechita to be the cause of death, and we do not want the animal to prematurely expire before the end of the shechita. When Shmuel hears this, so Shmuel on one of them has a hard time digesting. So hareze pirchus, amar lahu itzrich le'aba le'azuze une. So is that true? That now here he describes Rav as being Abba, meaning this is Shmuel's description of Rav, he calls him Abba. Now some are of the opinion that that was actually Rav's name. His name was Abba. Okay, sounds unusual. Happens to be that one of my Rebbeims, that was one of my Rebbeims' first names. It's, I'd say, a little bit less common nowadays, but people were named Abba. It becomes a bit of an issue when you have that name, and then you become a father, right? But okay, but your kids will call you by a different name. But anyway, but that's how some explain it. But if you take a look at Rashi right here in our daf, so Rashi says that Abba over here is a term of reverence. It's a lashon of kavod. Okay, so the but anyway, so itzur chleila Abba la zuzeune. Shmuel is saying incredulously, I have a hard time imagining that really that's what Rav requires, a wiggling of the ear. Shani Omer, Kol Sheina Dvarim Shem Yisa Oseh. So anything which is not a natural result of death. Meinin Dvarim Shem Yisa Oseh, Amar Rav Anan, Ledidim, Mefarsh Leminei Demar Shmuel. And so Rav Anan says that I heard this directly from Shmuel, which is, Haisa Yadak Fufa Upashta Sa, Davar Shem Yisa Oseh. Let's say that the animal flexes its leg, but it goes from being bent to straight. That is just a natural reflex as a result of death. That is not going to be a simon of chiyus. It won't be symptomatic of the animal being alive. However, pshuta v'kafafa, but if the animal's leg was flexed out and now it flexes in, so a contraction of the arm, if you will, so dvarim she'in hamisa osa. That's something which is unusual, and that means that the animal was in fact alive. That's the kind of simon we're looking for. So the Gemara says, so when we are looking at a simon of pirchus to show that the animal is alive, it can't be something which is normal and natural at the time of death. It has to be something where it's clearly fighting death. And so I need not an extension of the arm, which is dvarim she'amisa osa, but rather I need a contraction of the arm. That is a clear indication. Now, my kamash malantanina. Now, the Gemara says, okay, very good. You know what we just did? We just learned the Mishnah. Meaning, that's exactly what was stated in the Mishnah. Behemadaka shapashti yada v'lo ichzira psula. Sheino alatsa hotzas nafesh. If a small animal, if all it did was just extend its arm when it was shechted, that is indicative of nothing, and that does not show that it survived the shechita. And so, ha'hichzira k'shera. The simple diuk, of course, is that if it contracts its arm, so that is a clear indication of life, and that would be a good simen. So what did we just learn in Shmuel? Something that we already just saw in the Mishnah. So ima maslisan havamina dafka de kaifa pashta va de kaifa la avapshut of a kafsa lo kamash malan. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what Shmuel adds to the discussion. And that is because if all I had was the Mishnah, here's what I think I would have needed. I would have needed for the animal's arm to be in a contracted state, extend, and then contract once again. What we're learning through Shmuel is I don't need those two steps. As long as I have a contraction of the arm, where the arm flexes and bends in, that is not something that happens at death. That is a clear sign of life, and that means that the animal did in fact survive the shechita, which is what we want. Okay. Meitzvah, the Gemara challenges Rabbi Yossi, Omer Hayu, Rabbi Meir, Omer Goa, B'sha Shechita, in Zepirchus. The Gemara quotes the Braisa where Rabbi Yossi is quoting Rabbi Meir, where if it lets out a guttural cry at the time of Shechita, that's not Pirchus. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishmo, Afilu Hitila Reya, V'kishkesha B'znava, in Zepirchus. Even if it defecates, and even if the tail is wagging, this is not considered Pirchus. So over here in this Braisa, and you could just simply say that that maybe Rav doesn't hold to the Braisa, but there's no challenge to the Braisa. So here in the Braisa, clearly neither defecation nor a guttural cry is considered pirchus. And meanwhile, the students are quoting the Rebbe Rav as saying that defecation and a guttural cry is considered pirchus. So what we have is kasha goa goa, kasha rea rea. So we obviously have difficulties. Mm-hmm. The Gemara resolves. The Mishnah says tail.
The Mishnah says,
but Rav was talking about the ear, right? But in the tail, we know the tail is a machlokas in the Mishnah. So, okay, but you're right. Anyway, kasha goa rea rea, kasha goa goa. I'm sorry. So goa golo kasha. So in terms of the guttural cry, so the Gemara says I can easily make a distinction. Hada avikala, hada amakala. Well, if it is a loud and thick cry at the time of Shechita, so that is a sign of chiyus. And that means that the animal did survive the Shechita, which means it's that the Shechita that caused the death, and the animal obviously is kosher. If, however, it's a very weak cry at the time of Shechita, that is not a simen chiyus. We do not know that the animal survived the Shechita. Could be that the animal died before the Shechita, and so therefore the animal is not kosher. Rea, rea, and the same thing is true regarding defecation. Namilo kasha kam b'sharsesis kam b'metresis, and it's just basically how strong a defecation we're talking about. If it's just basically leakage, so that is not a simon of chias. If it's a strong defecation, Rashi describes it as basically going some distance, so then that would be a simon of chias, and therefore the animal did in fact survive the shechita. Okay, adkan. So basically now over the last little bit of Gemara, so we've done two things. One, we've given some sort of simonim in terms of knowing when the animal is mesukenis. And again, that's critical because even though you can check the animal and the animal's muteris, but once we know it's mesukenis, we must see simonim chiyus at the time of shechita, because if we don't, the animal is, for all intents and purposes, a nevela. And two, what we learned also amongst the Amoraim is what are various simonim of chiyus at the time of shechita. So we quote the students of Rav, and even as we quote the students of Rav, Shmuel wonders about one of them, and a kasha on two of the other simonim, and the Gemara made chilukim. Okay. What we're going to be doing now from here until basically the end of the sugya is the following. Good. So we now know the Makaris and the Torah of how we know Mesukenis is mutter. We now know in terms of what to look for when the animal is in fact Mesukenis, it can't stand on its own volition. And we also now know various simonim to show that the animal had chiyus during the shechita. Well, the only thing left for discussion, not the only thing, but in the Gemara, the only thing left for discussion is, when do we need to see the simonim chiyus? Meaning, up until now, I've kind of vaguely described that during the shechita, you need these simonim chiyus. Do I need them? I'm going to give you three options. At the beginning of the shechita, the middle of the shechita, or the end of the shechita. Well, the Gemara is going to spell out. Well, it may be related, right? That topic may be related to this topic. The Gemara does not make the connection, but I also thought the same thing. Okay. So the those are your three options. And where is it going to come out in the Gemara? Machlokas amongst the Amoraim. And all three opinions are going to be covered in the upcoming sugya. So Amar Rav Chista. So we are in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We're a little bit less than halfway down the Amud. And the Gemara now discusses this very topic. Pircha Shamar B'Sof Shechita. So the way Rav Chista says it is that I need to see the convulsion, the simani chiyus, at the end of Shechita. But even as he says the end, he doesn't mean the end. So my B'Sof Shechita B'Emsof Shechita Lafuk Etchila Shechita D'Lo. He just simply means when he says end, he means not the beginning. Okay, null hypothesis. Okay, so why does he put it that way? It's a fair question, but in other words, you have to see the simani chiyus not at the beginning, i.e., you need to see them in the very least in the middle of the shechita. Now, when I say middle of the shechita, even I'm not sure exactly what's meant by middle. It could mean bein simon la simon. That's my best guess. But in any event, I'm Rav Chisim and Amin Allah did not. And he says, and look, I know this because of the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us, Behemadaka Shapashi Yada Velo Ichzira Psula, that if a small animal, either sheep or goat, that extended the arm at the time of Shechita, but did not retract it, that is not a siman of Chiyas. Now, that's the Mishnah. Now the Diuk in the Mishnah, Amos. Ilema Besov Shechita. Now, are we expecting this kind of contraction to occur at the end of Shechita, meaning right now the Gemara is assuming even after Shechita, kol hecha techa v'tezel, meaning after Shechita is over, we all expect the animal to be dead. There can be no convulsion occurring after Shechita because after Shechita the animal is going to die shortly thereafter. So, el alav be'emsa Shechita. So it must be that we're talking about be'emsa Shechita. So that's the diuk of Rav Chista. To which Amalei Rava lo olam b'sof Shechita. So Rava says, I don't agree with your diuk. No. When do I need to see the siman of Chiyus? I need to see it at the end of Shechita. As we're approaching the end of Shechita. Shani Amar kol she'eino oseh kein b'sof Shechita b'yadua she'nishmata netula heimen nekom l'chein. Because if I don't see any kind of convulsion at the end of Shechita, I'll make the very simple argument that the animal died. Look, the animal's a mesukenis. So the animal's holich lamos. I'll just simply argue the animal died before we completed the shechita. And that's not a good shechita. Shechita, by definition, means that the animal has to have been alive through the shechita. So therefore, Rava makes the argument that I need to see simonim at the end of shechita. Good. So and in just a moment, we're gonna revisit the shechita of Rava. But in the meantime, however, Rav Chista obviously disagrees. And Rav Chista didn't respond back to Rava, but Rav Chista Shita will just simply have it recorded as long as you see the Simani Chiyus in the middle of Shechita Be'emsa Shechita, so that's good. We now know that the animal has survived Shechita. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Pircha Shamar B'tchil Shechita. Shita number two is that of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. He says, I only need to see the Simani Chiyus at the beginning of the Shechita. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Mena Amin Allah Didnan. Now he says, now how do I know this? So here, it's going to be really smart how he arrives at this conclusion. Now, we got to put a lot of things together in order to get here. So let's go step by step. Step number one is our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shimon HaShochet B'Lala L'Macher Matzah K'Salim Aleim Dam K'Shera Shizinka U'Chemidas Rabbi Eliezer. So first we go back to our Mishnah and we remind ourselves what we learned. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if there is a spurting of the blood during Shechita, so that is a simon of Chiyus. And the animal survived Shechita, and that's good. Good. That's step number one. Step number two. Rabbi Shimon, based on that Shechita, says as follows. Let's say you shecht at night. Yesterday we already discussed it's not ideal to shecht at night, but you did so anyway. It doesn't pass the Shechita. So you shecht at night, so you literally now have no idea whether the animal convulsed or did not convulse. You don't know if the blood spurted, it didn't spurt, meaning you don't see anything. Okay, fine. You wake up the next morning, and what do you find? You find the blood is spurt all over the kosleh, the kesalim, the walls. Now, stay tuned in just a moment. We're going to explain what that means much better. But in other words, the next morning you wake up and you see that the blood is sprayed all over the walls. So, Rabbi Shimon says the shechita is a good shechita based on the shechita of Rabbi Eliezer. So that means to say now that forensically in the morning when you wake up, you now know, because blood is splattered all over the place, that the shechita is a good shechita. Because he agrees to Rabbi Eliezer that is a siman chiyus. Now, you didn't see the spraying of the blood, but the next morning you see blood sprayed. Oh, okay, good. We're good to go. Now, Now, it happens to be that Shmuel is of the opinion that when we say the kisalim, we don't mean the walls of the house. When I said over the Mishnah yesterday, so I read the Mishnah Kipshuto. The blood was spraying all over the walls. Shmuel says that's not the right pshat. Shmuel says the correct pshat of the Mishnah is that the blood is spraying just simply over the Beis HaShechita. So as long as you see splattering of blood over the Beis HaShechita, so that is a siman of chiyas. Now, is that point of Shmuel right now necessary for our discussion? So Rashi says yes. And go through the Rashi instead. I'm not going to go through it right now. Rashi says this is actually critical for our discussion right over here. Anyway, now that we have all this information, so now let's think this through. I didn't see anything. I shechted the animal at night. I wake up the next morning and I see blood splattered. I now know that the shechita was a good shechita. It was a mesukenis going in. I didn't see anything, but the next morning, I did see forensically the blood splattering. Now, even if we are forensic experts, when did the blood splatter? At the beginning of the shechita, the middle of the shechita, or the end of the shechita? There's no way to know. There's no way. Meaning it occurred overnight. We didn't see it when we shechted the animal. We literally don't know. And now, let's put all this information together, and now we arrive at a really, really smart conclusion. Now, if the blood splattering is a siman chiyas at the beginning of the shechita, so then we're good. And the forensics now checks out. However, so, but let's say that the splattering of the blood is required in the middle of the shechita, or at the end of the shechita. Well, how did you know? Meaning, if all we got right now is the next morning, and all we have now is just evidence of blood splattering, you literally do not know when this occurred. And if the requirement was that I need blood splattering in the middle or at the end of the shechita, I can't be matir this animal. We don't know when it happened. Therefore, it must be, we're working backwards. By virtue of the fact that we're being machshir the animal, it must be that it's a good siman, even if it were to occur at the beginning. Otherwise, I simply do not know whether the animal was a kosher animal or not a kosher animal.
In the case where we don't know, right? We don't know when it came out. Why didn't you apply the concept of the chazakah, the majority of us, you know?
So in the no fault of yours, you were in Minyan, but I read the Rashi earlier this morning. No, it's fine. Rashi says, Kimlu l'rabanan. Meaning, what's in the state of Mesukenis, so all chazakas are off. And the Chachamim know that the animal died beforehand. Okay. The Gemara is going to try to deflect the proof. It is a smart proof. But the Gemara is going to try to deflect by saying the following. Maybe convulsion has to occur in the middle or in the end. But here, if we're talking about splattering of the blood, maybe it's such a strong siman that it's different and that can occur in the beginning. Meaning you're right. Splattering of the blood can occur in the beginning, but maybe this is a siman that's fundamentally different than the other simanim. Now the Gemara says, I don't know if we can argue that. Umi adif, really? It's stronger? It's a better indicator? Vatnan. Let's go back to the Mishnah and let's revisit the Mishnah once again. Now here, quick summary of the Mishnah. If you look back in yesterday's daf and you go back over the Mishnah, what are the opinions in terms of the simanim that we're looking for to make sure that the animal survived? So one is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Now I know in the Mishnah it says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, but if from this point going forward, if you could just think Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara reads a lot better. And probably that's the right girsa of the Mishnah, right, as noted on the side of the Gemara. So one is the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. And what do I need? I need a convulsion of both the front leg and the back leg. Two is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, splattering of the blood. Three is the opinion of the Chachamim. Ach teparches, obiyad, oberego. Rabbi Shimon is just using Rabbi Eliezer. Oh. Right. In other words, it's not a shita in of itself. Three is the opinion of the Chachamim, who says, ach teparches, obiyad, oberego, or ach tesachshef is nava. Right? The most lenient of the positions, I just need to see something moving. A front leg, a back leg, a tail. In other words, something moving, but I don't need to see all legs in making jerking motions at the time of Shechita. So those are our three Shechitas. Now the Gemara says, let's consider. Now let's go back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, V'dimashani zinuk da'adif umi adif v'atanan. Rabbi Lazar amar daya im zinuka. So Rabbi Lazar now in our Mishnah has inserted a shita number two. It's enough if it spires the blood. So kal midaram gamliel v'adif midarabanan. Now, he's being more lenient than Rabbi Gamliel. Remember, in the Mishnah, that was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But now let's call him Rabbi Gamliel. He's being more lenient than Rabbi Gamliel, but stricter than the Chachamim. Meaning, you see the progression of the Mishnah. Amar Avina Amar Li Sama Bar Chilka. I'm sorry. So what the Gemara is pointing out is, you can't argue that the spraying of the blood is such a strong indicator, because you see in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Elazar Shita is placed between the first and the last, and so it can't be, it's the strongest of indicators. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Amr avina amr li samar bechilka ikshi be avur debar avavram, va amr le achua debar avavram, umidirabanami adif. Really? Is Rabbi Eliezer being stronger, more chamer than that of the Chachamim? The Hatanan, look at the Mishnah. It's an unusual name. The Chachamim Omrim Ad Sheteparches O Biyad O Berago. Now, until you see convulsion of either the front leg or the back leg. Now, that sheet of the Chachamim was qualifying whose position? Rabbanan Ahaya Kaimu. Ile Madaram Gamliel Kevin Shapir Chasa Kevin Shapir Chasa Mibayle. If it's going back on the sheet of Rabbanan Gamliel, so the way that the Chachamim Shita should be opening up is Kevan. Since it only convulsed on either one of the two, the front leg or the back leg, that would be enough. Elab Shita ad de Rebbe Lazar. So it must be that the Shita of the Chachamim is going on the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, which, if you think about it, by the way, makes perfect sense. That is the progression of the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Eliezer, and then the Chachamim. The E Adif, my ad. Now, if you're going to tell me that it's adif, that really that Rabbi Eliezer is in fact stronger, so then why is then the Chachamim opening up with the words ad? No, it's not good until, so if anything, what comes out now is that Rabbi Eliezer with the spraying of the blood is the weakest of the Samanim. And now, comes out now, that if this analysis is good analysis, which the Gemara ends the discussion over here, so it sounds like the Gemara is very happy with this analysis. It comes out now that the spraying of the blood is the weakest of the Samanim. If it's the weakest of the Samanim, and it's good at the front end of the Shechita, so certainly all other Simanei Chiyos, which are stronger Samanim, for sure would be good at the front end of the Shechita. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of Shechita number two, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, which is that all I need to do is see the Siman of Chiyos at the beginning of Shechita, and you're good. And finally, we're up to the third, and that's Rava. Rava Amar Pirchus Amar Besof Shechita Amar Rava Menami Nela Detanya. I know that it's Sof Pirchus. I'm sorry. It has to be at Sof Shechita. It has to be at the end of Shechita. Now we already got a foreshadow of Rava, because remember when Rav Chista expresses opinion, Rava says, I don't think so. Probably at the end. So we knew that Rava was going to say this, but here the Gemara is formally rolling out the Shechita of Rava. It has to be Sof Shechita. Amar Rava Menami Nela Detanya, and he says, and I know this based on the following braisa. We learned, sure, oh Kesev, we are darshaning the Psukim in Parshas Emor. So Prat Liklayim. So it has to be that the animal cannot be a cross. It has to be a purebred. It has to be sure, oh Kesev. One of the two. So Prat Liklayim, it cannot be a hybrid. It can't be a cross. The O'Aith, Prat L'Nidma. Can't be a mutation, right? In other words, if the mother and father of one type and what comes out is a mutated animal, looks totally different. Now, it's not a crossbreed. In other words, it came out from the same mother and same father, same type, same species, but whatever, a mutation occurred. And so it looks like a different animal. No good. Ki Yivaleid, Prat L'Yotzei Dofen. Now, Ki Yivaleid is telling me that it has to come out in a natural birth. It cannot come out via cesarean. If it in fact does so then it also is no good. And oh, by the way, when we say no good in these contexts, we mean no good for a carbon. Meaning these are all psulei ha-carbon. Shivas yamin prat le-mechus zman. Shivas yamin means that it cannot be mechus zman, meaning you cannot offer a carbon before it hits its eighth day. So it has to be the eighth day of life. Prior to that, it's considered mechus zman, you can't bring it.
For kulin, it's okay.
Huh? Yeah, sure, sure. You can eat a fetus. So the tachazimo prat liyosam. Now tachazimo means that it has to have a mother, and it cannot be an orphan. Now, on this last point, it has to have a mother. Hold. So hayosam echidami. So what does that mean? That in order for it to be a proper carbon, so it has to have a mother. So ilema dialda say ime vahadar mesa salolam techa vitezo. So that means to say that really, in other words, in order for an animal to be a kosher carbon, it always has to have a mother. And in other words, if subsequent to the birth, the mother died at a later point in time, 2 years later, 3 years later, 5 years later. So you mean to tell me now that this animal is not kosher for a carbon? Meaning it's so untenable. The Gemara says it can't be. Ella de mesa v'hadu yal de se. So the Gemara says, okay, so what must have happened? So it must be that the animal died prior to the birth of this animal. Okay, the Gemara says, the mother died. Okay, thank you. That's what I meant. Okay, thank you. So de mesa v'hadu yal de se. So the mother died prior to the birth. The Gemara says, okay, I hear that, but we already know that that's a psul. In fact, from the drasha that we just quoted, we know it's pasul. So michi yivaleid nafka, meaning we need a leida. A leida, by definition, means that I have a living mother. So we already know ki yivaleid tells me that in the event that the mother is alive and then the mother delivers a baby, so then that baby is kasher karban. If the mother dies prior, that's not considered a leida. So we already know this. So what is that last drasha coming to teach me? So the Gemara says, so it must be that we are talking about simultaneous. That when the baby is born, the mother is now dying. And the two events are happening at the same time. Sure, now, Ben is a professional mind reader. So it brings about the discussion of whether or not we can be mitzamtzim or we cannot be mitzamtzim, which is a classic discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara over here does not raise the issue. The Rishonim do. You could see Tosus over here who discusses this very issue. It's the third Tosus that discusses it. So, but in any event, so Iyamar Bishlama Be'inan Chiyusa B'Sof Leida Hainu Deitzur Chorala Miyute. Now the Gemara says, now let's consider. In other words, clearly the mother's dying. We need a simon to know that the shechita of the mother was good. So if the simon is required b'sof hashechita, so then everything checks out and checks out well. But however, if I only need the simon chiyus at the beginning of shechita, so then that means to say is as follows. It could very well be that the mother died prior to the end of shechita, and that the shechita would be good shechita. And the fact that the animal, the resulting baby that comes out, is not going to be a qualified carbon, that we already learn out from the drasha of ki yivaleid. In other words, the necessity of a drasha of prat liyasom can only come about if the death of the mother and the birth of the child is coming simultaneously, and that can only come about if the simon is required bisof hashchita. So that way we can have the simon of pirchus and the birth of the child resulting simultaneously, and therefore the psul of the child being used as a karban is coming from that last drasha of prat liyasom. Okay. Amarav Hilchasa. Now, after having recorded a lot of opinions on a lot of these issues, the Gemara now is going to conclude. Hilchasa, Kiyamas Nisa Rav says, Halacha follows like the following braisa. Behemadaka Shapashiyad of Loichsir Psula. If you have a small animal, where all it did at the time, in other words, it was a mesukenes, and we shechted it, and all it did at the time of shechita was just extend an arm, insufficient. So it's psula b'medvar mamorim b'yarava b'regel bein pashta v'lo kafva bein kafva v'lo pashta k'shera. That's only talking about the foreleg, the front leg, but the back legs, however, are stronger legs, and therefore any flexing, both an extension or a contraction, would be a good simon. And this is describing a small animal. Ava begasa, but a large animal. Bein biyad, bein berego, bein pasha velo kafafa. Bein kafafa velo pasha ksheira. So by a large animal, any flexing of any leg in any direction would be a simon of chias. Ve'of afilo lo rifref ela gapo. Velo kishkesh ela znavo harez epirchus. So by a bird which is in general a weaker animal to begin with, less chius than the bird. One of the best indicators of that, by the way, would be the requirement to shech the bird is only one siman, not shnei simanim. So there, the sign of convulsion is a much lighter sign. It's a more lenient sign. All I need is something to move, right? We have in our Gemara, the Gir says gapo, the wing, the feather, so or the tail. So my kamashal and kulu taninu beim adakash pashi yad of lo hichzir psula she'enu ella hotzas nefesh yad in regolo dak in gasalo. So the Gemara says now everything that we just learned in the Braisa, we already learned back in the Mishnah. Now it wasn't explicit in the Mishnah, but if you make the proper diukim, all this we just learned back in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says of itzerichle delo tanan. The Gemara says that's all true. You're right. Everything we just said in the Braisa we learned back in the Mishnah through the diukim. However, what was not articulated back in the Mishnah was a bird. And so what this Braisa added to our discussion was a bird. So it's interesting, by the way. So Rava says this is a halacha, but quite frankly, all we learned was the simon of convulsion as it relates to birds. In terms of tchilas shchita, emtsa shchita, sov shchita, which are three opinions amongst the Amorayim, so for that, the Gemara did not conclude. Although if you asked Rava, we know what his opinion is. In other words, Rava taught us it was sof shchita. So Rava doesn't need to paskin on that because he himself says it's sof shchita. And in terms of what are other indicators of chiyus, meaning remember the Talmidim of Rav, right? A guttural groan at the time of shchita, or a strong defecation at the time of shchita. The Gemara doesn't comment on that as well in the conclusion. So really, only at the end. The Gemara only touched on the halacha of the contraction or the extension of the legs.